Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Geli, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the 9-month 2019 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank 9-month results presentation. After an overview of the highlights, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Haris Kokologiannis, will give you a more detailed presentation of our results, and then we will answer your questions. The macroeconomic conditions in Greece remain stable, and the growth expectations are for 1.8 and 2.3% for this year and 2020, respectively. This is supported by a strong tourism season for this year and stronger economic sentiment since the elections. The new government implements reforms and tax cuts to boost economic growth and attract investments, while fiscal performance remains above targets, as seen in the primary balance figures. In the banking sector, the expected approval of the APS law for NPL securitizations is another step to the right direction. Interest for investments and privatizations in a number of sectors is quite a bit, and Eurobank aims to play a key role in advisory and financing such projects. Real estate prices are recovering faster than anticipated, as seen in the residential price index, which was up 7.7% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2019. Furthermore, funding conditions continue to improve, as seen in deposit gathering and interbank markets, with GDP yields offering a supportive backdrop. Let me now update you on our transformational plan and the progress we are achieving. Following the government's initiatives and the European authorities' approval of the Asset Protection Scheme, Eurobank aims to opt in the scheme for the Cairo securitization. Once the law is voted in early December and the notes credit rating is obtained. There is significant progress in the negotiations for the 7.5 billion euros multi-asset securitization and our loan service and transactions, as binding offers have been received. We are now targeting to sign the binding agreements before year-end. Given that the adoption of the APS implies some changes in the Cairo securitization structure, the closing of all transactions should be delayed by roughly 2 months from the initially anticipated year-end 2019. Now, let's see our financial results for the 9 months 2019, as highlighted on slide 5. Our net profits reached 149 million euros, of which 59 in the third quarter. On a year-on-year basis, core pre-provision income was down 2.9%, driven by net interest income. Commissions increased by 15.2% year-on-year, mainly as a result of the merger with Grivalia, but also organically, as evidenced by the 4.9% quarter-on-quarter increase. Operating expenses on a comparable basis were flat year-on-year, with Greece 2% lower. Now on asset quality. Our stock of NPEs decreased by 2.8 billion euros in the first 9 months of the year and half a billion in the quarter. The latter, driven by the quarterly organic negative NPE formation of circa 200 million euros. The NPE ratio improved by almost 8 percentage points year-on-year, dropping to 31%. At the same period, the coverage of NPEs by the accumulated provisions increased by 140 basis points to 55.1%, which is the highest in the Greek market. Our fully loaded CET1 ratio reached 14.1%, improved by 40 basis points quarter-on-quarter, mainly on gains in our GDP portfolio. Our total capital ratio stands at 18.6%, the highest also among peers. Loan demand is picking up gradually in Greece. So our performing loans increased by 0.9 billion euros year on year on a comparable basis. Demand is stronger outside Greece, so our total increase in performing loans was 1.5 billion euros year on year on a comparable basis. Deposits increased by 2.4 billion euros in Greece and 4.8 billion euros for the group year on year. As a result, the group loan-to-deposit ratio reached 87%. Our international operations remain strongly positive throughout the year and across the countries, with our profits reaching 139 million euros in the first 9 months. So, overall, we see that key operational and risk metrics are improving while we are approaching the completion of our NPE reduction plan. Given clear signs that economic activity in Greece is accelerating and growth remains robust in the countries of presence outside Greece, we are quite optimistic that the bank will be in a strong position to enter a new growth phase. With the balance sheet cleanup near completion, we are returning to normalized profitability in line with a return on equity close to 10% as of next year. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Mr. Charis Nikologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Let's now provide some more insights on the third quarter results. Moving from the capital position and on page 8, in the third quarter, the fully loaded CET1 ratio increased by 40 basis points at 14.1% as a result of the Greek government bonds and of the quarterly profitability, which more than offset the increase of RWAs, mainly related with market risk, the portfolio of investment securities, and the investments in associates. As of the beginning of the year, fully loaded CET1 ratio has increased by 70 basis points. Total capital ratio amounted to 18.6%, which is almost 5 percentage points higher than the 2019 overall capital requirement. Moving on slide 9 and on liquidity. As shown at the right part of the page, in the third quarter, the increase of group deposits amounted to 1 billion euro, 600 million of which coming from the international operations and the rest from Greece. Net loans to deposit ratio receded further in the second quarter to 87%. On the funding side, the bank envisages to opt in the TLTRO 3 in December. The eligible funding ranges between 3.5 to 4 billion euro. The potential benefit on NII upon achieving the loan's growth target amounts to approximately 20 million euro per annum. Moving on page 12, and on lending growth. On a year-on-year basis, performing loans increased by 2.9 billion euro to 30.4 billion. Excluding the non-organic drivers, which are mainly the acquisition of Piraeus Bank Bulgaria and the impact of the Pillar transaction, the organic growth in the last 12 months amounted to 1.5 billion euro, out of which 900 million coming from the Greek operations and the rest from international. On page 15, net interest income for the group increased quarter on quarter by 1.1% to 346 million euro as a result of higher lending margin from performing loans, including days effect, lowered repo cost, and higher income from international related with the incorporation of Piraeus Bulgaria for the full quarter. These drivers more than offset the decrease of deposit margin due to the further decline of Euribor and the absence this quarter of interest on tax litigations. On a year-on-year basis, net interest income is lower by 3%. On page 16, net commission income increased in the third quarter by 4.9% to 94 million euro as a result of network fees related with credit transactions, namely issuing, acquiring, and POS. On a year-on-year basis, fee income is higher by 15.2%. On page 17, operating expenses year-on-year and on a like-for-like basis are stable for the group and lower by 2% in Greece as a result of lower staff costs. For the full year 2019, the outlook is for an organic decrease of staff in Greece by 400 employees, while the rationalization of headcount and branch network shall continue in 2020. Further on pre-provision income and on page 6. On the top left of the page, core PPI increased in the third quarter to €210 million, mainly driven by the Piraeus Bulgaria's contribution for the full quarter this time and higher commissions in Greece. On a year-on-year basis, core PPI is lower by 2.9%. Pre-provision income decreased to €223 million, as the previous quarter took advantage of the negative goodwill related with Piraeus Bulgaria and higher gains from the sale of sovereign bonds. Moving on asset quality and on page 7. As shown on the top left of the page, negative NP formation amounted this quarter to €195 million, similar to the previous one and substantially better than the third quarter of 2018, mainly due to continuously decreasing inflows. NP stock decreased quarter on quarter by €460 million, driven by the negative formation and write-offs. As a result, the NP ratio receded at the end of June to 31.1%, which is lower by 790 basis points compared to 1 year ago. Cost of risk over net loans amounted in the third quarter to 1.6% and loan provisions to €145 million. For the full year 2019, the outlook remains for a cost of risk of 1.7%, implying a ratio of 1.4% for the fourth quarter. Finally, on this page, provision coverage at the end of September amounted to 55.1%, increased by 190 basis points as of the beginning of the year, as a result of negative formation and the lower than average coverage of the Pillar portfolio. As regards our NPA reduction plan and on page 19, the decrease for the first 9 months amounts to €2.9 billion. Including the Pillar securitization that closed successfully in September. This is leading us for the last quarter of the year to achieve €0.6 billion organic decrease, for which we are confident to fulfill. Furthermore, as regards the Cairo securitization, due to the launch of APS and the intention of the bank to opt-in, the completion of the transaction and the respective decrease of NPEs is expected to delay for about 2 months and take place in the first quarter of 2020. Consequently, the related impact on our capital will be postponed for the same period as well. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Lariani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for the presentation. So starting with Cairo, is the guidance for the loss still maintained at 1.2, 1.4 billion as before? Then my second question is still on Cairo. As you mentioned that the final decisions will be taken after the legislation is passed, but you have received already the binding offers. Now, given that the voting at the parliament is expected for December, and I assume that as well that the ECB might issue an opinion at a later stage. I mean, what can change from now until then? I mean, what, given the fact that you have the binding and the perimeter, I don't think it's going to change from now on. I mean, logistically, what's going to be the next steps once the vote in the parliament goes ahead? And then still on the securitization, do you have clear visibility on on the risk rating on the senior tranche for Cairo as well. Are you comfortable that this will be confirmed at 0%? I'll leave it here, and then I can ask more questions later. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for your questions, I will try to answer them one by one. Now, in terms of this 1.2 to 1.4 impact on CET1 from the Cairo transaction, this is going to increase. It is going to increase by the present value of the fees paid to the state for the guarantees. However, at the same time, we're going to have a relief of the risk-weighted assets related to Cairo, which is 1.8 billion euros. And therefore, this release is going to counterbalance the slightly higher cost. And the net effect of the APS in terms of the CET1 ratio is going to be neutral. We make the assumption that following the APS, we're going to enjoy a 0% risk weighting on the senior notes. We know that this is an issue that is discussed as we speak between the Greek government and the European authorities, but we are quite confident, based on the feedback that we have received, that a 0% risk weighting will be agreed. Now, in terms of your second question, as I mentioned, following the binding offers that we received, we want to make sure that the law is going to remain as the draft that we have seen so far. And based on that, we're going to move into signing binding agreements, therefore negotiating documents and signing binding agreements before year end.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Barak Daryagiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. Just to come back to the Cairo transaction, please. One question is there going to be any change in the distribution of the mezzanine and the junior tranche to your shareholders? Because the way the initial approval by DG Comp was phrased was that there has to be a consideration paid for at least 51% of those riskier tranches to receive the government guarantee. So if you could give us some color on that, that would be helpful. Also, from your previous answer, do I understand correctly that the senior tranche remains around 1.8 billion euros, which will be receiving now the guarantee? And third question, is there any plan to also apply the Hercules scheme on the Pillar securitization, or has that now been completed and there is no such plan? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Angeliki, for the questions. Now, in terms of, let me start from the Pillar. Pillar is a transaction that has been closed. We have received all the formal approvals from the SSM about it, so it is a deal done. And at the moment, we don't have any plans to opt in for the APS. In terms of the senior note, you mentioned the number 1.8. 1.8 is the risk-weighted assets related to Cairo. The size of the senior note is 2.6 billion euros. This may be revised slightly lower in order to take into account the cost of the guarantee that should be paid to the state. And in terms of the distribution of the mezzanine, let me clarify that what the law provides. Based on what we have seen so far, the law says that in order a transaction to qualify for the APS, 51% of the junior note should be sold for a consideration, and an amount of the junior note and the mezzanine note so that the consolidation is achieved. Therefore, the 51% refers only to the junior note and not to the mezzanine. Therefore, based on this understanding, we are going to distribute 80% of the mezzanine note to our shareholders. 20% will be sold to the counterparty that will get Cairo and FTS. And this would be fine because through these conditions we achieve the consolidation.
If I may follow up on that, so the junior tranche will also be fully given as a dividend in kind to the shareholders, the way I understand it. And also, could you give us an indication of the size of those two riskier tranches?
Yeah, let me clarify that 51% of the junior will be sold to the investor, and 49% will be distributed. Okay, so the transaction tranching is as follows. The junior is 3.6 billion euros. The mezzanine is going to be 1.2 to 1.4. Maybe it could increase slightly because of the amount of fees that should be paid for the APS, and the rest is the senior. We have indicated 2.6 billion before. It may be slightly less.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Kepaptoglou Iason with HSBC. Please go ahead.
So just a clarification on that point. So the 3.6 billion is treated as a junior note according to the legal text. It's not treated as over collateralization in the securitization, right? It's treated as a separate note.
This is correct.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Paraiktari Agiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my follow-up. Just a question on fees. We have seen recently that the Greek government intervened with regards to some increases, some initiatives taken by all Greek banks to increase ATM fees on ATM withdrawals, etc. Could you tell us, is that going to have any impact with regards to sort of your targets or the current fee level that we see going forward, and how should we interpret it? Do you see any risk that any future sort of repricing actions, also considering the very low interest rates, might be blocked by the Greek government? Thank you very much.
We don't have such indications. As a bank, we're going to proceed with the commercial policy that we have decided. We believe that this is a reasonable commercial policy in terms of fees, in line with the practices of most European banks. Therefore, we don't really envisage any change.
Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Kepaptoglou Iason with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just one question. We now have your three main peers domestically, which have to varying extents fleshed out their business plans for the core business, the performing business, in terms of costs, in terms of fees, in terms of the top line. Should we expect something similar from you? And if so, do you have any idea on potential timing?
I mean, in terms of the guidance that we are providing to the market. Let me repeat that we have said that as soon as we complete the NPE reduction plan, the one that we execute as we speak. The bank should be able to deliver a profitability, which is going to be in line with return on equity close to 10%. And this will take place as early as in 2020. Now, in terms of providing further details, usually when we have the full year financial results, we provide some guidance about the financials of next year. And we may also consider providing guidance for a longer period than just 1 year, but this may happen in the second half of 2020.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Boulougouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Would it be possible to give us a color on the fees for the APS? You mentioned that this could increase the 1.2 to 1.4 million MES. I mean, maybe a range, if not, because this will be an upfront cost, in my understanding, for the SPV at this stage, the way the fees will be formulated.
Your understanding is correct. On average, the fees are linked to the CDSs of the Hellenic Republic, and a rough number is about 2% per annum or slightly more. In our case, an estimate of the fee is in the area of 250 million euros upfront cost.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Barakhtari Gelikie with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. May I ask a question on costs? Just drawing up on the question of my colleague earlier, we have seen two of your peers effectively announcing quite significant cost-cutting targets now. Is that something you could contemplate as well?
First of all, on cost, let me provide you where we stand. For 2019, we expect a decrease of cost in Greece on a like-to-like basis by approximately 2%, driven by lower staff costs. Specifically, staff in Greece should show an organic decrease in 2019 by approximately 400 people, from 9,000 to approximately 8,600. Of course, the incorporation of Grivali and Piraeus Bulgaria within the year are leading the headline number for the group to a year-on-year increase of about 2.5%. For 2020, group costs are expected to decrease by approximately 1%, mainly as a result of further decrease of staff cost increase by 5% or more, which will offset the increase of IT and digital-related costs and some increase related with international business growth. Specifically in Greece, following the VES of 400 people in 2019, we should expect a similar decrease, actually at the area of 350 to 400 people next year, and a further rationalization of branch network from 350 branches in Greece to close to 25 branches lower, close to 325. This is regarding the outlook of 2020.
Excuse me, I didn't hear right. If you could just repeat, how much is the OPEX guidance for next year, for 2020?
Let me repeat that we should expect a decrease by approximately 1%, mainly as a result of a decrease of staff cost increase by approximately 5% on the back of a further VES of between 350 to 400 people.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you all for your participation in this conference call. Let me also thank you for your questions, and we are looking forward to seeing you in our next road shows in London or New York or in Athens. Thank you.